Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in this room. We thank you for the Church Covington. We thank you for the embrace of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's in this room. We thank you that our worship was not a song, but it was an intimate moment between us and you. And we thank you for abiding in our presence today. Thank you for gracing us with your glory. Now, over the next few moments, I want you to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we didn't know was coming. I want you to release an anointing in this room that makes preaching easing, that allows our ears to be attentive to what you're saying, that we might move into our next level of anointing. We thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, your grace, and mercy. And we give you glory today in Jesus' name. And somebody shouted amen. Amen. Apparently you didn't hear me. I said somebody shout amen. Amen. There you go. Now you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm glad to have my wife with me today. 35 years of putting up with me. Come on, y'all could do better than that. You don't know what it's like to live with me. 35 years, we just celebrated our 35th anniversary. I like to tell people she's my first wife. She's my only wife. And I appreciate her being with me today. Not always does she get to travel, but I'm thankful today. Reach down, grab your Bibles if you will. I know they probably put it on the screens, but take your Bibles and turn with me. I got to go to work. Let's go to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter. I know you're in this breakthrough month and summer of breakthrough. I think it's interesting when we begin to dive into Scripture and understand that breakthrough is one of God's greatest elements of His demonstration. The thing that I want you to understand today is not a pastor nor a guest should be responsible for your breakthrough. So while you're trying to figure out me and get used to me, you need to understand something. This is a BYOB Sunday. Just seeing who my heathens are. BYOB, bring your own breakthrough. Bring your own breakthrough. Don't look to pastor or to the guest or to someone else who's in professional ministry to be your breakthrough. You got to make up your mind you're desperate for your own breakthrough. That you came in this room today expecting God to meet with you. See, you got to understand something, that in most of our lives, we don't desire to change only certain elements of our life. Now, most of us could say, well, I need a breakthrough relationally, or I need a breakthrough economically, or I need a breakthrough in my career. Very seldom in 3 decades of preaching this gospel have I had somebody show up and say, I need a breakthrough because I have a lust issue. Or I need a breakthrough because I'm selfish. Okay, so y'all got real quiet. I want to just share something from 2 Samuel, and we're going to look at verse 19. I'm going to start at verse 17 just for a minute because I want to lay the foundation. It says, now when the Philistines heard, what did they hear? They heard that they had anointed David king over Israel. That when they heard this, it prompted a response. How many know the enemy is always moving against you? Specifically when he hears there's something on you. When you've had a breakthrough and when you have received an anointing, the enemy is always moving against you. The Bible says that when they heard that David was anointed king, that all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now when the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephidim, the Bible says in verse 19, so David did what? He inquired of the Lord. What's that mean? It means he prayed. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I am doubtless deliverer. I will doubtless deliver. Means God says, don't even question my authenticity to do what I say I'll do. Doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So verse 20 says, so David went to Baal. Baal means Lord. Perazim. And David defeated them there and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me. like the breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, or translated, the Lord of the breakthrough. Breakthrough. This whole series of June and July, I understand, has been dedicated toward breakthrough. And my thought was simply this: I need some breakthroughs in my life too. If you're in this room today and you say, well, I'm not quite sure what I need, well, the first thing I need to encourage you is you better define what you need. Because you can never receive what you're not expecting for. Because one of the greatest things about God is God's ability to do for us what we believe he can do. Now, here's what you have to understand is every time there's a breakthrough in your future, there's also an enemy to hinder it. How many feel like there are times in your life you get really close to something? Maybe this morning during worship, and I watched people begin to run the room, and quite honestly, I was tempted myself. Because no one should ever have to run by herself. Because sometimes I have to run because God did it for her. And if God did it for her, he'll do it for me. And sometimes I've got to put a little effort into what I'm believing for. Do you understand me? Because sometimes I haven't received it. Because my praise cannot be based on what I've received. It has to be based on what I believe is coming. And sometimes I got to praise him before I see it. I got to run before my family ever comes into the kingdom. How many's got some prodigals that you need to come in to the church, Covington or somewhere, and have a redeemed, restoring moment with God? Sometimes you've got to believe for the expectation of it. And see, when I begin to read these verses of scripture, I begin to think there's so many times I've been close to a breakthrough, but the problem is I get frustrated because of the resistance. Because David receives his anointing. He's been prophesied to be the soon coming king. He receives his anointing. He's going to be God's man at God's time. He's living in his now moment. Man, I like now moments. I like the moments when God shows up and does what he does, and you're just living in the celebration. The problem is the celebration is always short because there's an enemy always causing you to question what you received. As soon as David receives his anointing and he's king of Israel, what happens is the Philistines, the enemy, begins to align themselves. Why? Because they want to lock him up, shut him down. So many times in our life, we're not prepared, not just for the breakthrough, but we're also not prepared to deal with the resistance. How many feel like you've got some resistance in your life to your breakthrough? I have three people in this room that have resistance. Now, the Bible teaches me to be not ignorant of his devices, so I understand he's going to bring some resistance. So I'm going to ask this one more time. How many in this room are facing some resistance towards your breakthrough? Would you not like to learn some keys on how to unlock? Because locks do things that only keys can solve. Because keys, which is the kingdom I have received the keys of a kingdom. Keys unlock things. The enemy's job is to always lock us out of what God has for us. So even though you're anointed, doesn't mean the enemy's not trying to lock you up. Even though you've received certain things in your life, doesn't mean the adversary is not strategically working in order to lock you out of your next level or your next anointing or your next breakthrough or your next career or the things that God has. See, so that you got to understand, resistance comes. The key is I've got to be able to handle my resistance with eloquence in the spirit. Because my weapons and my warfare are carnal in most elements. Because I try to outthink my enemy and I try to logically work. I can't do that. I got to get in the spirit. I got to get in the spirit, because if I stay in my flesh is frustrated and can't handle the resistance. You ever got so frustrated with waiting? You ever complained to God about waiting? See, some of you still right now going, but I don't want to admit that. Here's the reality. Sometimes your resistance is necessary. Because I was reading a story the other day about a man who found a cocoon. And he noticed that within the cocoon, the butterfly was struggling to exit. and had made a little hole in the cocoon, and he had been watching it, and he realized that the butterfly on the inside of the cocoon was struggling. So he chose to do what? Help it. And so he began to make the opening larger and larger and larger. And what he noticed is when the butterfly came out, it couldn't fly. Its body was large, and its wings were somewhat emancipated. And so he began to discover something in his research, that the resistance of the cocoon was necessary to force the fluid out of the body to the wings so that the wings could develop properly. And because he helped it through its process. Yeah, y'all didn't hear me. Because he helped it through its process, it did not develop itself in the right way. Sometimes your setback is for your setup, for your development, so that when you come out, you're not going to come out in compromise. You're going to come out in character. So here's David, and I got to get to the narrative. David is here, and he's on this journey, and he's dealing with adversaries because his actions are now going to require the involvement of God, because there's just times in your life you can't handle anymore. You can't process anymore. You can't deal with it anymore. There are times in your life where you got to go, God, I don't know what to do. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go up? Do I go down? Lord, I don't know to do anything. I'm just going to stand right here and let you be God, because there's just sometimes I got to stay in the cocoon until I'm developed sufficiently so that when I come out of my cocoon, I can lift my wings and mount up and fly as the breakthrough to others' lives. Somebody needs to see you come through what you're coming through, so you can't give up now because somebody's got their eye on you. Touch your neighbor and say, somebody watching you. Now touch your other neighbor with the attitude and tell them, somebody's watching you. Yeah, I don't know who's who there. Do you understand me? Because it's important for us to understand that all of us are believing for breakthroughs, but we're dealing with an enemy that brings resistance. Soon as David begins to walk in his anointing, there's resistance, there's adversarial plots and plans, there's things, and sometimes you've got to understand, I love God, but I need him a little quicker. I don't want to have to labor. I don't want to have to tarry. I'm terrible at patience. I want to pray and get it. Yeah, I thought I was talking to church folk, but apparently not. Because most of you want it quick, fast, and in a hurry. But you don't grow if it's quick, fast, and in a hurry. Sometimes you got to go through some things in order to develop you so that you can steward with great capacity what's coming, because your present breakthrough is only the catalyst to the next breakthrough. Y'all don't understand me at all, because you're learning the capacity to carry it now so that God can release more in your future. How many's believing God for some more? I want a new level of joy. I want a new level of peace. I want a new level. I want to go places. I want to be that ambassador of kingdom life. I don't want to go through my life living defeated. I'm not going to live depressed. I didn't come here just to go to church today. I could have went at my church. I could have went there. I'm glad I'm here. But since I'm here, can we not push on the Spirit of God and say, today I'm about to walk into my next. I'm about to step into a season that is about to release something into my life that I've been believing God for. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will tell you that the silence of God is the disapproval of God. How many has ever felt like God went silent on you? Well, your prayers didn't get above the ceiling. In fact, some of you have got so frustrated with what you've seen and what you felt and what you've had to put up with that you said, God, I don't even know if you hear me. Sometimes you've got to understand that the resistance in the silence is not because God isn't hearing you. It's because he already heard you. He already heard you. He already heard you. His silence is not denial. His silence is, it's on its way. You remember when Samuel was dealing with Saul, and Saul had rebelled and turned his back on God, and Samuel became so disheartened that the Bible said he began to drift away and he began to distance himself from God. And God speaks to him and says, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? How long are you going to allow there to be a silence between you, the prophet, and me, the God? And God speaks to Samuel these words. He says, rise up, fill your horn with oil, and get to Jesse's house. I'm going to tell you something. Your silence isn't anything more than for God to release new oil in your life for your next assignment. Sometimes you got to understand, silence is for my good because I'm getting ready to step. Come on, I'm ready to get my horn filled with oil. I'm full of oil. I'm full of anointing. And I'm ready to go to my next level because somebody's waiting on me. Who's waiting on you? Samuel had to rise up when he felt like it. Can I preach in here? Can I preach like I'm at home? Good. Because we got our own big old platforms too, and I can't stand them. I know they're necessary, but I like it here because I want you to see my face. Because I'm not passionate because I got a microphone and a Bible. I'm passionate because I understand what you feel. I understand your trial. I understand your tribulation. Just because I've been preaching for 35 years doesn't mean I am immune from trouble. Truth of the matter is, there's some days in my life I'm going, God, where are you? I know you anointed me, but why am I struggling? Why is it that it seems like heaven is silent? And I've discovered through my own experience that when heaven is silent, he is getting me ready for my next assignment. He's getting me ready for who's next. And a lot of times he will allow me to go through something so that I can help somebody else go through. That's why you can't quit now. That's why you can't give up now. That's why you can't go AWOL now. You got to stay in the fight. You got to stay in the battle. Why? Because somebody's watching your life. Yes. Sometimes God is silent. And when God is silent, I've got to be able to say, you know what? Just because you're silent, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to rise up. See, somebody needed to hear that right now. Because the silence of God is nothing more than getting you ready to rise up. Your breakthrough is in your rise up. Your breakthrough is in your rising up. See, we want God to do instant, and God's going to do it progressively or gradually because he's going to increase your capacity. Sometimes God is going to slow down the process because you couldn't handle your next until you develop where you are. Isn't it amazing how you get so frustrated at everybody else and God's going, I'm trying to talk to you. Okay, y'all quiet. Y'all quiet. Silence doesn't mean nothing's happening. It means something is happening. You just got to be willing to rise up. And see, what happens to me is the same thing that probably happened to David. David's like, man, I finally got my anointing. I finally got my kingship. I finally got my season. And then, look, soon as the enemy hears out about it, they show up. Soon as the enemy found out you went to church on Sunday morning. And you're going to start grieving over what you shouldn't be grieving over when you should be rising up saying, God, I'm ready for my next level. You got to combat it because the breakthrough is always attached to your obedience. God will do what God does, but God will do it based on what you do. That's why the Bible said, seek ye first. I got to be the seeker. The Bible is real clear about that. Come. But I got to make the effort. I got to make the action. I got to make the movement. Come unto me. I'm coming. Because as I come unto the Lord, he's seeing my obedience. And my obedience makes me available to what he wants to release. How many has got things in your life that looks dead? Fragmented, broke down. Like it's going to take an act of God, a move of God, a supernatural thing of God to bring it back. Have you ever read Ezekiel 37? Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones, and God asked a crazy question. Do you think these can live? Are you crazy, God? They're dead. They're fragmented. They're broken. They wore out. They broke down. It can't be turned around. And that's what's happening a lot of times in our life. We look at it and we go, God, I know you're the God of the breakthrough, but you don't see how fragmented it is. You don't see how broken it is. You don't see how bad it is. You don't see how wounded the relationship is. You don't see the betrayal, God, but he sees it all. He's asking you, do you believe that he can turn it around? And here's what God will do. God says, I'm going to turn it around, but I need you to set it in motion by saying something. See, it's one thing to rise up and say, okay, God, I'm going to my next level. But can you start speaking it before you see it? Can you start prophesying it before it starts? Lord, I thank you that these dry bones are coming together. I thank you, Lord, for a resurrection. Lord, there's power in my... Oh, y'all don't hear me. How many believe that God can do it for you? But how willing are you to look crazy and talk about it before it ever changes? How long did you call your mama into the kingdom? 23 years you called your mommy into. You know what she was doing? She was speaking to dry bones, and the enemy said they're dead. The enemy said it's never happening. The enemy said it's never coming. But she said, those bones will live. My mama's coming. She's coming to the kingdom. She's coming out of darkness. She's coming into obedience. Sometimes you gotta say a thing until it becomes manifested in the natural. Your breakthrough's on the other side of your lips. Can I say a thing? You gotta start speaking it before you see it. You gotta start believing it. Come on, how many got some prodigal family members? Right now they're drug addicts. Right now they're alcoholics. Right now they're wayward. Right now they're prodigals. How many right now can prophesy and say they're coming home? They're on their way home. How many believe here at the Church Covington they can come here without judgment? They can come here without condemnation. And they can kneel in the presence of a loving God and confess their sin without us being the judgments. Come on, somebody praise him if you believe your children are coming home. See, one, y'all be seated. I got to work. Praise God. Don't know. Y'all didn't hear him over here. He said, take my time. See, what I like to do is I do this. Can you give me 15 minutes? You give me 15? Will you give me 15? Good, I done got 30. And I didn't get to this half of the room. Y'all leaning with me though, right? Because if you don't lean with me, we'll just walk out of here and just have good church. The worship alone was good. But this word right here, I really believe, I've not preached this at my church. You say, I've been doing this a long time, but I haven't preached this at my church. I like it when God, and Pastor knows this, I like it when God gives me a word that is a little more directed toward the place I'm going as opposed to where I've been. Y'all didn't understand what I said. How many in this room feel like you're not enough? Don't raise your hand because that'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I've got too many mistakes, too many things in my life. I feel you, brother, because the honesty is, if we really had to be transparent before God, there's not much good in us. I didn't say you hadn't been in church your whole life. The truth of the matter is, we all have some. I have some deficiencies in how I see me. I struggle in how I see me. You say, well, oh, you know, you look, yeah. Yeah, that's just a perception and a persona. The reality is, I battle me. He said, I'm the head and not the tail, but some days I feel like the tail. He says, I'm above and not beneath, but some days how many feel like you done been run over? And the enemy just threw it in reverse and backed up over you, and guilt and shame, and all these things flood you. And then they come in here and we talk breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And you're going, I can't have a breakthrough because I never got broke out of what I'm carrying. And the enemy keeps me locked into this place of guilt and shame. And everybody's shouting around me and I don't feel like shouting because I know me. And the worship team says, lift your hands. And you're like, look, I appreciate you, but I ain't feeling it. I know you're talking about how good God is, but my problem is not how good God is. My problem is how bad I feel about me. How many has ever felt like you're just going to get through today, and if you just get through today, that'd be a good thing? It's kind of like the widow woman that had one piece of meal left, and the prophet shows up and says, by the way, I know you're grabbing sticks here because you're going to get you a fire started. Just go back in the house and make me a meal. And she goes, you don't understand, sir. This is my last meal. Me and the boy going to eat it and die. Why? Because we out of resources. We out of things to turn it around. It's over. It's finished. And so many people come in and out of the church feeling the very same way. I have no more options. I came to church today because my wife expected me, or I came to church today because I was invited, but I'm truthfully at the end of my end. I'm at my wit's end of my wit's end. I'm hanging on by the end. I've tied a knot three times, but I'm slipping. Because we begin to look at ourselves as if saying there's not enough for us to sustain us. And then there's some crazy preacher shows up from Canton, Georgia and says, listen, God can take you a little bit and turn it into something. And he'll say to you crazy things like this, like the prophet said to the water woman, I want you to go in there and I want you to fix a meal and I want you to bring it to me. Has he lost his mind? Did he not hear me? I said, I'm fixing the last meal for me and my boy. But the prophet said, if you will bring me your food and bring that to me, he said, God will sustain you. And until the famine is over, you'll never run out. See, you don't understand something. It's one thing to rise up and believe God for a breakthrough. It's another thing to speak up and believe God for a breakthrough. It's another thing to give and release something. Y'all don't get me. Samuel had to rise up because he was going to carry the oil of the anointing to David, to Jesse's house. He had to rise up. That's part of movement toward the breakthrough. Sometimes God's asking you to rise up. Sometimes God's asking you to speak up and to speak to your dry things and believe for them to change. And other times God's going to say, I'm going to take your very last. And that makes no sense at all, that God's going to take what little bit you got. Because, see, the scales in my mind go, if I give what I've got, I'll be lacking. But the scales of obedience shift differently in the spirit than they do in the natural. Sometimes you got to give because he says give, and it may not be there. And see, here's the thing. When you feel in shame and guilt and you're overwhelmed and you don't feel good about you, you know what he's asking for? He's asking for you to give you. Just give him you. Yeah, but I'm broke. Yeah, give him you. Release you. Release your control. Release your necessity to be perfect. Release that thing that's weighing you down. Release it to him and watch him shift it for a breakthrough in your behalf. Sometimes you got to own your own shame. Sometimes you just got to go, Lord, I know who I am. You know who I am. And I'm tired of being that man. I'm talking to somebody right here in this room. See, when I was going through this and starting to put this together, I began to think about how unworthy I felt and how many times God's asked me to give myself. Because, see, it's not always easy. Pastor knows it's not always easy to show up and preach the gospel every week. You look at it as if it's easy for us, but you don't understand there's always resistance in our lives. There's more resistance in your pastor's life than he'll ever acknowledge to you. There's more warfare, more conflict, and you show up in here on Easy Street, and he's been fighting hell for your behalf. I say that because I've been doing this a long time. And my church has no clue the hell I have to put up with so they can have breakthroughs. And then you wonder why us pastors get so frustrated with church folk, because church folk have a tendency to take their breakthroughs for granted. And then we preach to them about rising up, speaking up, and releasing things. And they look at us as if we fell off the back of a truck. I'm telling you right now, the key to unlocking your breakthrough is not that God just does it all for you. And that's wonderful if God does it all for you, but I've discovered something about my God. He ain't that kind of God for me. I've had him do a lot of wonderful things and done tremendous things in my life, and I've seen things that I didn't deserve. But the reality is it never came quickly. It may appear quickly, but it was in the process. See, some of you right now are looking for a breakthrough that's instantaneous, and God says, I'm trying to carry you through a process. And you got a whole lot of friends on Facebook trying to help you get out of your cocoon, but if they get you out too soon, you're going to come out and not be able to fly. You're looking to a lot of other things to get you through your process instead of walking it out and living it out, because your breakthrough is on the other side of your resistance. How are you going to know he's the Lord of the breakthrough if you never fight an enemy? What did David call the place where he won the victory over the Philistines? Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. How are you going to know he's the Lord of the breakthrough if you're not willing to fight for your breakthrough? How many in this room right now know there's some things in your life that you need to take some keys and start fighting for your breakthrough? There's some things in your life God wants to do, and there's no doubt about it. There's no question he wants to do something for you, but maybe he's looking for you to rise up, stop complaining about what you had to go through. Stop being Samuel and grieving over your past. Stop being Samuel and complaining about what you had to go through. Rise up. Fill your horn with oil. See, this morning before we leave, well, I want your oil filled. I want you overflowing so that you can carry it to those that need it. Because there's a hurting world outside these four walls that is looking for an answer. And guess what? They see you coming. And when you show up, you come with the oil. Somebody needs to get oily today. Because somebody needs the breakthrough. Second of all, the second key was simply this. What? You've got to be willing to speak to what's fragmented, what's dry. Sometimes the greatest level of faith is your ability to speak to a natural thing. So, man, I don't know if I got enough faith, Pastor Ryan, to speak to that. You don't know what I've had to do. Speak to it. Speak to it. And then sometimes God's going to release the breakthrough through your willingness to release what you have. See, sometimes God's got to get it out of your hand before he can put something else in your hand. I want you to stand with me in this room if you're available to. Just because I've settled down doesn't mean I'm done. Just because I went into a little more hushed moment doesn't mean I'm finished. I want you to understand something. There is nothing that God would desire to do more than to bring you to your next level. How many times have we allowed situations and circumstances to control us? How many times have we allowed our praise to be diminished? Sweetheart, when you took off running, I was like, man, well, the first one was a walk. It was a march, right? And then when Pastor tells what it was all about, I'm like, why'd nobody go with her? So when you went the second lap, I noticed a couple more joined in. Pretty confident if you took off again, we'd get a, you know why? Because sometimes your breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. Your breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. God is moving based on your action. Did he not say, I'll inhabit the praise of my people? He did. But if I don't praise him, then he's not obligated. Draw nigh unto me, he said, and I'll draw. Oh, you want him to draw nigh to you, but you don't want to move. Your breakthrough is based on your obedience. Resistance is a part of it. Resistance is necessary. So suck it up, buttercup, because there's just some stuff you're going to have to go through. There's some pain you're going to have to process. There's some cocoons you're going to want somebody to get you out of. But your development is in that moment. Don't get out prematurely. Because if God would have gave me what I thought I deserved when I was a young preacher, I'd have mismanaged it. I would have squandered it because I did not have the capacity to carry it. The reality is now he's still stretching me and molding me and shifting my life. And every time I think I about got God figured out, I'll find myself in resistance. And resistance is for my good because it's bringing capacity in my life for the next level of breakthrough. I don't know what you need in the way of a breakthrough, but I am promising you this. If you will begin to respond accordingly to him and his voice, Can we sing? Do we have a moment? Sweetheart, can we sing? I don't know how you close service. I have 2 minutes and 18 seconds to close. But I'm not leaving this room until I square my shoulders, raise my head toward heaven, and declare, "You are the Lord of my breakthrough." And I'm not going to complain about my enemies. I'm not going to complain about my problems. I'm not going to continue to force myself to look at myself. I'm going to raise my head unto Zion, from whence come my help. I'm going to lift my head toward the heavens and declare, I am now receiving my oil. I'm receiving my anointing. I'm ready for my next level. I'm ready to speak to my dry bones. I'll open my mouth and I'll prophesy to the things that look impossible, and I'm going to call them done in Jesus' name. And I'm going to be willing to release whatever I have, knowing that he's about to release something back to me. I'm telling you right now, the breakthrough God has for you in your life is going to require your action. Can we do this? Would y'all be, I know I'm your guest, and if you're not willing to, I get it, that's okay. But I came in here and made myself at home. Pretty much. I didn't run chairs. I might run if you run, though. I've told people that before. I said, you run, don't ever run alone. So if she ever takes off again, don't let her go by herself. Let it be your prophetic promise for your prodigal children. And you run in obedience as an action, saying what God did for her, he about to do for me. Sometimes you got to look foolish in order for it to be released in your behalf. So you don't ever have to run again. You don't ever have to march again. Never again does she do it by herself. Is that fair to say? All right, then the next time somebody down here praising God for their breakthrough, they ought not be praising God by themselves. You ought to be right down there with them saying, Lord, what you did for them, you're going to do for me. So whatever you've done for them, I'm receiving mine. I'm pulling mine off the shelf too. I'm receiving mine. So if we could, y'all good? Y'all good to see? Can we all just come down here and just have a moment together in the altar? I'm not laying hands on nobody. Just come. Just come stand down here with me. At least I won't feel by myself. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to do this. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor in just a second. What I want to do is, if you're willing to and if you're able to, you say, why do I have to take that step? Because sometimes we've allowed you to be too comfortable and too tolerant. Because if Jesus is exalted and the devil is defeated, then I don't lose. You didn't hear me. I said, if Jesus is exalted and the devil is defeated, then I don't lose. In fact, let y'all say that. Jesus is exalted. Okay, I can't hear you. You sound like you're at the Masters or something. Jesus is exalted. The devil is defeated. I don't lose. All right, let's try it one more time. Jesus is exalted. The devil is defeated. And I don't lose. See, that's how you live life. That's how you live in your next level of breakthrough. Come on, all across this room, let's enter in. Let's worship together. Come.
When I open up my mouth,
come on, lift your voice.
Miracles are breaking out.
Come on, let the Spirit of God just swoop through.
Jesus has. Miracles start breaking out. I have the earth.
Jesus. Tell him. Go ahead and speak a language you don't even understand. That's the Holy Spirit. Be filled. And put your hand on someone's shoulder. You may know them, you may not. You may be friends with them, you may be meeting them for the first time. What a way to meet, to pray for them, to bless them, to encourage them. Amen. I so appreciate this word today that just kind of shakes us out of our regular thinking and normal thinking and demands us to step into a place of obedience. It's hard at first. It's hard to take the first step, but man, when you see God moving and pouring out his strength and his blessing, every step after the first gets easier and easier and easier. But it's not just about you. It's about people standing near you. People in your home, people in your life, people in your church, people in your neighborhood. I want you to pray for that person that you're touching right now. Again, you may know them, you may not. I want you to ask God to be the breakthrough that they need. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what's happening in their life. But I if it's appropriate, just wherever, just pat them. Just squeeze that shoulder. Just tighten your grip on their hand for just a moment, because I want you to know what a miracle feels like. That's what a miracle feels like. No, I'm just touching need right now. I'm touching crisis right now. No, you're touching God's next miracle. You're touching God's next breakthrough. You're touching God's next healing. You're not touching failure. You're not touching flesh that has just floundered. You're touching God's best. Come on right now, pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We speak life and healing and strength. We speak deliverance. We speak breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, for this miracle. Thank you for this miracle that you're doing. Thank you for this healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making a way, Lord, where they thought there was no way. Thank you, Lord, for being what they've got to have in their life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, now, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Yay! Come on, every voice lifted. Every voice lifted. Come on, your hands clapping. Your feet dancing.
Jesus has given me.
Jesus has given me.
every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll be dismissed in just a moment, but this is a sacred time, a holy time. It's a personal time for someone in this room today that needs to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've heard incredible preaching and you've felt the not only the energy of worship, but you've felt the strength of worship. But you are scared to death to walk out of this atmosphere because you know the same weakness awaits you. The same struggle is waiting for you. And you feel like you're just going to go right back to the same. Today, God sent a word for you. God sent strength for you. Today, you can say yes to Jesus. Today, your ultimate breakthrough is the breakthrough of being forgiven of your sin. Letting go of the past, letting go of every yesterday of your life, every wrong turn, wrong choice, every wrong decision. How do I do that, Pastor Daryl? Just pray, just ask God, just give it to God. You can use my words or you can pray your own, but something like, Jesus, I want you to be my breakthrough. I'm through relying on me. I'm done depending on my own strength. Today, I say yes to you. I repent of my sin. I repent of every wrong choice, every wrong turn, every attitude that is against your word, your plan for my life. Today, I step into my future. I step into my purpose. Today, Lord, I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I am forgiven. Today, Lord, I'm walking in newness of life, never to be the same again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing my life. Thank you for saving my life in Jesus' name. Come on, can we give God praise today for every yes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us today on either side of the auditorium, you can do it on the way back to your seat. On either side of the auditorium are yes banners. This book is right there on a table. You don't have to sign anything. Pick up a book free of charge. Let it bless your life. Let it resource you. It's just some next steps. What do I do now? I said yes. What do I do now? It's called Following Jesus. It'll help you with those next steps. If you're online and you pray that with us today, text the word follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, to 404-777-4701. If you'd rather get this book to your inbox, just text the word follow, 404-777-4701. Make sure we get your email address, and in just a couple of minutes, you'll have this book right there in your inbox. Are you thankful for Pastor Ryan Smith that came to bless us today? Man, I am full. I am blessed. I am stronger today, and I'm so grateful for my friend being in the house today. He and his wife. We bless Five Stones Church in Canton and ask God to just rain down revival in their house and in their community. Amen, amen. Don't forget, we've got yard sale next Saturday. We got great church next Sunday. So many good things happening. If you need us, come on, call the office. Let us know. We're here to serve you any way that we possibly can. We bless you on this good Sunday. Have a great, great day and a great week. Oh!